Well, good morning. If you would, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and while you're turning there, I just quickly want to say that at the prison Thursday night, we had 57 men show up for Bible class, and we had that extra hour for the first time, and so it was just a really good time in the Lord. In fact, the time went by too quick, even having that extra hour. I was amazed with how quick it went by. But to have 57 men, that's the most we've had since COVID, since we came back after COVID. So that's exciting. Tonight I'm going to be talking about 1st and 2nd Kings, so you might want to come back tonight if you're interested in finding out about those two great Old Testament books, powerful books. Well, we're about done with Ephesians. After today, we have one more sermon, one more lesson, and we'll finish Ephesians next week. And so today, our lesson is titled, Christians on the Job. And so in our text, Paul addresses the relationship between masters and slaves. Now, strictly speaking, slaves were not employees. They were rather the actual property of their masters. However, the principles that Paul discusses with regard to slaves and masters continues to be valid in the employee-employer relationships. About one-third of the empire in Paul's day, the Roman Empire, were slaves. In Paul's day, there were approximately 60 million slaves. Think about that for just a moment. 60 million slaves. That's the whole Roman world, right? We're not talking Palestine here. We're talking about the entire Roman Empire. It's just crazy to think that there were that many slaves. And so few Romans had to work because they had slaves to do all of their work for them. Captive, conquered peoples from all over the world did the bidding of Rome. And so we're going to look at masters and slaves, but look at it as the employer-employee relationship, because I think the principles apply to both. What was true of slaves and masters is also true of employee and employers. And so Paul gives counsel to slaves as he starts off. And so he talks about the requirement of obedience. The requirement of obedience. He says in verses 5 and 6, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants to Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, the very idea of slavery is repugnant to us. And many of us are surprised to discover that the Bible does not just come right out and condemn slavery. It doesn't. Paul's ministry was not to overthrow the Roman government, and it wasn't to be a social activist. Paul's main concern was to win lost people to Jesus. That was Paul's ambition. That was his concern. Not to be a social activist against the Roman government. And so Paul wants us to know here that a stubborn, lazy slave could never be an effective testimony for the gospel. And so if a slave is lazy and won't do their job, then it's going to be a bad testimony. And so the principle still stands. If you are an employee, you are to obey in everything, not just when your boss is monitoring your work, right? And so it's easy when the boss comes by to type, write the letter, whatever it is you're doing, but then when he's gone, you know, polish your apple and goof off or whatever. That's what some people do. And so Paul says, no, you obey, because your main concern, your only concern is to please God. That's your goal. That's your objective. That's what you're attempting to do. And so remember, you are God's representative in that office or on that assembly line or out there on the field somewhere. You are God's representative. And as God's representative, what are you communicating? You say, well, Ray, you don't know my boss. Well, the Apostle Paul said, be obedient to all those who are your masters. There are no conditions here. He doesn't say, obey if your master's instructions make sense. No, Paul says, no, you obey in all things. You respect, you honor, you do your work with sincerity. And so when you are willfully disobedient or disrespectful to your employer, you do two things that are significant. Number one, you destroy God's principle of authority and submission, which He has built into the universe. Remember, there are these two principles that God created, authority and submission. There's always going to be an authority, and there's always going to be those who submit to the authority. And that's the only way that we can have a world that we could live in. If we didn't have authority and submission, it would be utter chaos in our world. So this principle is vital. God wants there to be an authority and those who submit to authority. But the second thing, and the most important thing you do, is you damage your Christian testimony. How will you ever share the gospel with your boss if he sees you as an apple polisher or a goof off? You can't do it, right? You can't do that. You lose your testimony. The only way for you to open the door of the gospel for evangelism is for you to work in such a way that shows that you're different. That's how you open up a door to the gospel to your employer or to a fellow employee, by showing that you are different. And so ask yourself this question: would my performance give credibility to my testimony if I shared my faith with my boss or with another employee? And if not, then I need to do better, right? And so if my performance on the job does not give credibility to my faith in God, then my testimony is a bad testimony. I'm never going to lead anybody to Jesus. If I'm doing wrong, how am I going to encourage you to do right? So think about that for just a moment. So the principle of obedience is so vital. It's so important. In Paul's parallel instructions that he gives in the book of Colossians, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, is very instructive. Paul says in Colossians 3:23, he says, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than men. So notice that. So do your work as for the Lord, not for men. And I've always had that mentality. I just think it's important that we realize that we are really God's representative wherever we are. If it's in the workplace, you still represent God. And so you should do your task at work as though Jesus were your earthly supervisor. In other words, type that letter as though Jesus were going to read that letter. Build that house as though Jesus were going to live in it. Make that machine as though Jesus were going to run it. In other words, do the best of your ability, whatever you do. If we cannot work like that, then we need to do one of two things. We need to change our attitude, or we need to get a new job, right? So if I can't work that way, I have to do one of two things: change my attitude or get a new job. So you may be in a job that you think, I can't do this. I can't change my attitude. I just can't. Okay, then you got to get a different job. All right? Change your attitude or get a different job. And think about this. If these slaves in the first century could serve their masters in the way Paul was telling them to, then you can too. You can serve your employee the same way Paul is encouraging servants to serve their masters. If the slaves could do it, you can do it as well. And so Scripture gives two reasons for this kind of obedience. One is negative, and the other is positive. So Paul encourages slaves to do their best because one day Jesus Christ is coming back, and He will reward you. That's what Paul points out here. And so you may not be getting your due now. Your boss may underpay you. Your boss may overwork you. But one day Jesus Christ will come again, and when He does, He's going to balance the scales. It's all going to be balanced out. It's not your job to balance them out. God will take care of that. You just be obedient. You do your job as to the Lord, not to men. You honor God by the work that you do, by the way that you do it. And if you're overworked or underpaid, God will balance the scales. You'll get what's coming to you. You have to remember, your paycheck on Friday is not all of your salary, or whenever you get paid. That's not all of your salary. That's what Paul is telling us here. Someday Jesus will come again, and He will reward your faithfulness because it is Him that you are actually serving on the job. And so we just need to keep that in mind all the time, that when I'm on the job in my workplace, I am serving the Lord. I am His representative. And I need to do that in a way that will honor Him in all things. But then there's the negative side of this. The negative side is in Colossians 3, verse 25. In Colossians 3, verse 25, Paul says this: "But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality." And so whoever does wrong will be repaid for his wrong. And so do not do wrong on the job. Don't take longer coffee breaks than you're entitled to. Don't steal from the company. Don't pad your expense account. Don't do anything that is immoral or wrong, because if you do, just as He will reward you for good work, He will punish you for evil. And so it's incumbent upon us to listen to the counsel that Paul gives to slaves and apply them on the job to be the best representative that we can be for Jesus in our workplace. Because you think about it, folks, this is not where we win people to Jesus. You know, we've kind of used the church as this is where we bring people to Jesus. No, we're supposed to be the church on Monday, right? And we went through that book, The Church on Monday, that we're supposed to be the church on Monday, the church on Tuesday, the church on Wednesday, the church on Thursday. The majority of our time is lived in the world. And for many of us, the majority of our time is spent on the job. So you spend at least 8 hours, and some people have jobs where they work 12 hours, or they might even work two shifts because somebody didn't come in and you're the low guy on the totem pole, and so you're the guy that's tagged to work this guy's shift who isn't coming in. And so we just need to think about this. So Paul goes on to give some counsel to masters. So in verse 9 of Ephesians 6, Paul says, "And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." And so how hard this must have been for masters, you know, in the first century, to conduct themselves in the way that Paul is asking them to, because masters were pretty used to threatening. They were pretty used to abusing their slaves because they weren't even considered as human. They were just rather considered property of the masters. Now, you read about some masters in the Bible. Philemon, for example, you know, was a master, or Onesimus. Was a runaway slave of Philemon. Remember in the story? And so Philemon's a good master, and Paul's encouraging him to receive Onesimus back as a brother, not as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we read about a good master there, but most masters in Paul's day were tyrants. They abused their slaves. They were mean to their slaves. They were evil. And Paul's saying, you can't be that way anymore if you're a believer in Jesus. If you've come over to the side of Jesus, you need to conduct yourself differently. And so Paul says, treat your employees with fairness. And that's what Paul would counsel employers. So if you're an employer, you want to treat your slave, your employees, with fairness. And so what is the principle that Paul is actually talking about here? Well, it's none other than the golden rule. He's saying treat your employees the same way you would want to be treated if the roles were reversed. Right? I mean, if the roles are reversed, then you treat them the way you would want to be treated. That's what you're supposed to do. You expect your employees to do their best. And so you should do the same for them. Right? The principle works both ways. The employee is to have a brand new attitude, realizing I'm God's representative. But the master needs to also see himself as God's representative in the workplace as well. And how you treat your employees is important to God. It matters to God how you treat them. And so you're not to be verbally abusive to them. Paul says, give up threatening. He says, remember, masters, you have a master in heaven, right? And you're going to be accountable to him one day. Paul says one day you're going to stand before him in judgment, and there's no favoritism with God, right? God's not going to look at you with favor. If you do wrong, God's going to punish you for wrong. If you do right, God is going to reward you for the right. God does not show favoritism. He doesn't show partiality. And so, whether you're an employer or an employee, you represent God in the workplace. And your most important ambition is to win people to Jesus. That's the whole point of being the church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, because this is when we're interacting with the world and on the workplace where you spend the majority of your time. Are you adequately representing God in your workplace? Are people hungry for God when they see your life, when they see your service? Does it make them want what you have? And if not, then we need to do better, right? We need to serve the Lord in that way that He is honored and glorified. And so today we've observed the master-slave relationship or the employer employee relationship. But the principles are the same. Do your work as for the Lord and not unto men, because He will hold us accountable for that. And I think that's important, and we always need to keep in mind. But here's the thing. If you're a Christian, your life should be different. Not just when you're here assembled to worship God, but when you're at home and when you're on the workplace. And so we can't carve up our life, you know, and say I have a recreation life and I have a social life and, you know, I have a married life and a church life. And no, my whole life is Christian. My whole life is to bring glory and honor to God in every aspect of my life. It doesn't matter whether it's home or at work or in the community or when we're assembled like this. Faith in Jesus should make a difference in your life. That's what Paul's communicating here. And it should make a difference in the employer-employee relationship. And so I just want you to think about the fact that you are God's representative in that workplace. Every day you're representing Him. And you think about that. You spend more time at your place of employment than any other place, right? Even with your family a lot of times, because, you know, you sleep 8 hours, right? So you get home from work in the evening, you have a few hours, you eat a meal and a few hours together, and what, everybody gets ready for bed. It's not like you get to spend the next 8 hours with your family. Who has 8 hours after work? Most people are in bed before 8 hours are up, right? So you're working 8 hours or 12 hours. Most of that is in the workplace. And so how are we representing God in that place where we spend the majority of our time? It makes a difference. And if you want to lead people to Jesus, you got to show people that you're different. And so I encourage you to do that. And for those of you who don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to think about that. You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Why is today the day of salvation? Because yesterday's gone and tomorrow's not here. And today is all that you have. And even in the scripture, you know, it says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It's always going to be today. You never live in yesterday and you never live in tomorrow. You only ever live in today. Today. And so today, if you don't know Jesus, you need to come to know him. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You will stand before God, you will give an account of your life to him. And if you don't know Jesus, you will be lost. You will be severed from God for eternity. The Bible says that Jesus is coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And so when he comes again, he's coming in judgment, and he's going to separate those who don't obey the gospel and don't know God. We want to help you know God. And so if that's your desire, we're going to encourage you to come and make that known as we